Yeah.
Hey, so like, do you know this one? Stan.
Stan?
Mm-hmm. S-T-A-N, Me? Stan. Yeah, it's Me? Not short for Stanley. It's a combination of stalker and fan. If you stan someone, it means you're obsessed, but not in a creepy way.
And at that point, we just started the podcast. Good evening, everybody. Bill, do your old introduction thing, because that we are definitely starting the podcast on that right there. I'm going to find that point, and that's where we start this at.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of BS Car Guys Podcast. For those of you, which is everybody, who wasn't a part of the conversation that was just going on, Stanley and I were looking at some millennial Gen Z phrases on the internet, and I came across that gem. And he couldn't pass up putting that in the podcast. So, yeah, there you go. You guys have all learned something today about slang.
Yep. Evidently, my name is slang for being a stalker. I don't know if I like that.
Not a stalker. Not a stalker. Just being a fan. Being obsessed, but not in a creepy way. Just you know, good obsessed. I don't know what that is, but good obsessed.
You just described what every stalker would say when they got caught stalking.
Right. I'm not a stalker. I'm just a fan. You know, not creepy fan. Just a fan.
Yeah, just a fan. Just a regular fan. You know, I think it's normal that
every person ever arrested in a celebrity's yard said exactly that statement. Right.
I just wanted to get a look.
It's not weird. It's not weird.
I just want to smell her hair.
I'm just a fan. Yeah.
I just want to smell her hair.
I just needed a lock of her hair. Okay. All right. We just went down a real dark hole.
Yes, we did. All right. So our guest today is kind of going to be a hodgepodge of all types of things. We're going to probably hit a little bit of news, if see if anything stood out to you. And we're going to talk about a TV show. And probably going to, in the middle of this, I just thought of this challenge earlier, but I didn't want to reveal it to Bill. In the middle of this, at the end of this, we're going to pitch a car-related TV show.
I'm down for that.
Your dreamscape of a car-related TV show. But I guess first, anything in the news stand out to you? I feel weird saying it now.
No, I don't guess there's I don't guess there was any big car news that I saw in the last week or two that stood out to me. I don't know. So last week I was working down in Georgia and was driving down to the southern part of Georgia, heading down towards Valdosta, and I just so happened to see going the other direction, going northbound on the interstate, Kyle from Boosted Boys YouTube channel going northbound in his pickup truck, pulling his trailer with his half of a Tesla Plaid and his 1,000 horsepower Honda Odyssey minivan going north to an event. And I saw the two cars and I was like, I know those two cars from the internet. So that was kind of cool.
Wow. That was way more exciting than my trip, because I was out of town as well. I was in Florida in Jacksonville, the largest city by area in the United States of America, if you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is the largest. Well, it was. I don't know if it is today, but it used to be. Very recently, the largest city in the United States of America by area, not by population, by area.
What about by age of population?
Age of population, it got to be up there.
That's got to be close, right? Sarasota or something.
Yeah, that it in somewhere in Arizona or in the runnings.
Good point. Yes, Arizona. Them snowbirds in Arizona.
Well. If you catch it the right time of year, it is probably the oldest. Things that that kind of stood out to me this past week is one. Remember the GV 80 Coupe that we talked about last year sometime? That was a concept car?
Maybe
it was vaguely. Orange.
Maybe well, vaguely.
Well, they're going to build it. It should be on the for sale next year.
Okay.
And it's going to get the two engines that normally come in the GV80, and then they're going to get another 400 plus horsepower. When it's probably got some kind of you know, your approved use of hybrid technology in it to boost the horsepower another 80 to get nice. It up to 450. So yeah,
I approve of that.
Jalopnik currently has it as the best looking SUV, might be the best looking SUV coupe on the market. I agree. And it just,
I don't know why we live in a world where there needs to be a term SUV coupe. I don't recognize that.
Cause marketing is a thing.
I don't.
So you remember it now?
Still don't recognize it. Okay, I remember that. I don't care for it.
I like it. Remember they had the orange one? Yeah.
Just think about how cool that would be if it was actually a station wagon. Man, it would be a cool station wagon. I would be all over that thing if it was an actual station wagon.
But BYOL, they are building station wagons.
Again, until they call it a station wagon, market it as a station wagon, and make it an actual station wagon, I'll just say, I really would like that if it was a station wagon.
But BYOL, they are building station wagons. We have to see the forest through the trees. Everybody else who, you know, who the marketing has taken hold with them, they can see SUV and crossover and thing, but we really see station wagons as hatchbacks because we are car guys.
Okay. Okay. So I just keep calling it a station wagon.
Yeah. That's why I don't even bother you anymore, because I know what you're really saying. It's an interchangeable term.
Okay. Okay.
It's a funny thing about that. Jalopnik has that on their new things new right now. And then they also have an article about the ugliest cars in America, and a BMW SUV station wagon thing is in the runners for the.
It's got to be number one. It's got to be. Got to be. It's so ugly. It's so ugly. It's the ugliest car being made today. I would rather drive two Pontiac Aztecs at the same time.
I don't know how you're going to pull that off, but I kind of think it's, you know, back when we got when the original American WRX came.
Oof.
And it was so ugly to other people, but it was so cool to us.
Oh yeah, I love that car.
Maybe that's what's going on. We're just out of touch.
You think that's what it is?
Look,
anybody could be that out of touch that we don't see it.
Think about it back in the day. Like, I mean, the older dudes, they look at the WRX and it's like, what the heck is that little piece of crap?
We thought
it was the coolest thing in the world.
Fair enough. But here's the thing, though. That's an enthusiast car, right? There are no enthusiasts buying that GV. They're just not. Well, nobody.
No, we're not talking about the GV. We're talking about the ugly BMW.
Well, that's even worse. Nobody who looks at cars and thinks I like cars is buying that BMW.
They do like cars. They just like cars differently. We have to accept them.
No, they don't like cars. They don't like cars. Yeah. They like refrigerators and they like Keurigs, but they don't like cars.
Would you say your wife likes cars?
No, I would not say she likes cars.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, I show her a picture of that thing and she'd be like, that's the ugliest car I've ever seen.
All right. I agree. My wife is, I wouldn't classify her as a car lady as well, but she does like cars. She just likes cars that she likes. And then she describes them in terms that I do not understand. And I have accepted her.
Yeah. My wife is also capable of doing that.
Like the whole snouted nose thing on the car. You explained it. She explained it. Somebody else explained it. I don't get it. Don't make no sense to me. I don't get it. Don't make sense.
I mean,
I guess I still love her.
So You got any other car news? Because I have one thing that I had read this week that I did want to talk about, but it's not specific to a particular car. So I was kind of wait.
All right, cool. So the last little bit, well, there's some other stuff, but, you know, it got to do with EV stuff. So, you know, we know we have accepted you where you are.
Oh, okay. So, well, mine's sort of similar.
So internal combustion engine, real coupe, two seats, debuted this week, 2024 Nissan Z Nismo debuted.
I did not see that.
It debuted before, but, you know, people got to drive it this week and see what it was really about. It does get a horsepower bump to 420 horsepower. It does 0-60 in 4.1 seconds, which is still plenty fast. You know, things don't got to be under fast. 2 seconds to be fast.
Nope.
They
don't have to be.
Yeah. It does. The worst part. So my worst part about the car, which is going to be different from your worst part about the car, because I'm going to tell you in a second what you're not going to like. The base price is $66,000.
Ooh. Okay, that's the part I don't like.
Yeah, it's like $20,000 more than a base Z.
That's stupid.
The part that you don't like, you're really not gonna like it. It does not come with a manual.
Huh?
It does not come with a manual. Let me finish. From what I have read and understand, Nissan is saying that the car is faster around a track because nobody cares. Track specific.
Nobody cares.
Look, I'm telling you what the marketing people said. That this
okay,
is,
but the marketing people are stupid.
Can I finish?
Yep.
Okay. And they didn't have a manual that could deal with the torque.
Okay, now that's a believable excuse. Okay, I buy that excuse. I don't buy the other one. Faster around a track, when less than 1% of the people who buy that car are buying it solely as a track car, I don't believe that is a valid excuse, right?
Well, we all know people buy.
You only have to look at the dollar value that GT3 Tourings with manual transmissions are going for to know that people are okay with a really fast car being a little bit slower with a manual transmission.
I agree with you.
If that were solely the reasoning, nobody would want a manual GT3 Touring.
Correct. And we Americans want manual GT3 Tourings, but, you know, the Europeans, the Germans, was that a good German accent?
I don't know. We'll give it a pass.
You know, they don't really get it. They don't understand it. It's like the car's faster this way. Get it this way. But they saw that we buy a lot of them that way. When I say we, not meaning me and you, talking about us as a whole.
Right. I've only bought none of them.
It's like they saw that, hey, they're willing to pay for this, so let's go ahead and do it. Even though I remember an interview with one of the engineers, it's like, we made the car worse for you, you can have it.
Yes. And we're happy about that. We'll pay more money to have it worse.
It's, like I said, it was a couple of EV things that came out, but, you know, ain't really nothing really exciting.
Okay, so it's funny, your story about the Nissan had the sticking point that it did, because my story that I want to share that I read is related.
Are you about to talk about a smart car?
No. I'm not talking about a smart car. For once, I'm not talking about a smart car. So I'm going to talk about manual transmissions. Did you know?
Go ahead.
That manual transmissions are making a comeback.
Yes, I did.
I knew you did. I'm talking to our listener, Stanley. I know that you read all the same things I read.
Oh yeah, we read similar things. Yes, we do. Yes.
You probably read all the things I read plus more, because you read more news related things about cars than I do. Okay, so
because you actually have a demanding job.
I mean, I have a job. It is demanding at times. So in 2023, manual transmission cars accounted for 1.7% of all new car sales.
Yeah.
But in 2021, it was less than 1%. Yep. It was 0.9%.
Yep.
So that's a pretty good increase. And I know when you hear, like, if you're a listener who's a little bit of a car fan, but you disagree with me fundamentally on basically everything I speak, you're probably going 1.7% stupid small numbers. I get it. It is small numbers, right? But here's the thing. Used car sales and manuals went up as well.
Yes, they did.
And the reason that number is so small is because the percentage of new cars on sale today that have a manual transmission are way smaller than that, right? So if you looked at total cars on sale today, new cars, the percentage of cars that have a manual are significantly less than 1.7%. Right. Yes. It's probably closer to like 0.4%.
Yes.
So that being said, this is why it sticks out to me. You can look at new car sales at with brands like Volkswagen, who still offer manual transmission cars, and those cars do not sit on the lot. They just do not. So they usually, their life on a dealership is 1 to 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to automatic cars, which will sit for weeks or months, right?
Well, I'm listening to you.
CarMax has noted and been noticing that manual transmission cars do not sit on their lot. And I thought you would appreciate this one. A particular automotive dealership in the Midwest that sells Kias received a shipment of 46 Kia Fortes with manual transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
44 of them sold in less than 2 months.
Yep. And if they would have had one right here, I know somebody who would have bought them. So to put Bill's numbers in context, last year there were roughly 13.4 million cars sold in America. 1.9% of that is 254,000 cars.
That's a lot of cars.
That's a lot of cars that were sold brand new with manual transmissions. And I don't know if you're going to say this, so maybe I'm stealing your thunder just a little bit.
Go for it.
So there used to be a slight bit of a inside baseball type thing where, hey, go get the manual version. It'll be cheaper because people don't really want it.
Yes.
Now dealerships have caught on to that, and those prices are at or above the price of a comparable vehicle with an automatic transmission because they realize that there's a market for it. And the other part about the story, I don't know if it was in the exact article that you read, was the people who are buying this are in two distinct categories.
Ooh, yes.
They are younger drivers who are the budding enthusiasts. And drivers want
the nostalgia of driving an old feeling car.
Correct. And the slightly the us that remember what it was like to drive a manual and want to go back.
Remember, so we're doing it for the same reason. Have a manual dependable car.
I saw that, and then I think it was on AutoLine as well, and I thought it was cool both times when I came across that.
That was worth sharing. As much as we talk about cars with a manual, and my recent declaration that my next car will have a manual transmission, I thought it was pertinent that we share that it's not just me, or it's our influence on car culture.
Yes.
and people are getting wise.
Yes. So so remember, I'll tell you, we got a kid, the one guy that works with me, he drives the Genesis Coupe, and that's modified. And I love him for it because he's from Montana. He's only ever driven trucks his whole life with four-wheel drive. And then he decided, he got here, he was like, that's dumb, you know, because he's from Montana. Why would you ever need a car, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, drive him one time. Drove a car, really, for the first time. Fell in love with it, went and got a daggone sports coupe that he could afford, hooked up with some friends who had Civics and a couple Miatas, and all of every car in the whole little group is modified.
Now he's a car guy.
Yeah, he's a car guy now. So he's going to get married here soon. And so he's been looking for a car. He's been looking for a car that he's going to try to grow older with and mature with. In his head. Okay. I told him he could just keep the car he has.
Yeah,
his
I think that's one, smart.
The one knock on the car that he has is he wasn't unable to find one in a manual that the manual was working properly. So he's on a quest right now, looking for a manual car. And we had the same problem. It's like every time you find one, it's like, why is this costing so much? This should be cheaper.
Yeah.
But so he settled in on a Civic, and he was looking for an SI, right?
Did he just get a Sport instead?
Yeah, nope. He didn't get that. He didn't do that. He knew that the Sport was an option. Knew that the SI was an option. Obviously, can't afford a Type R, because who can't?
I'm really wanting on that Type R.
I know, but
it's still the top of my list.
It's $55,000.
I know. That's why I don't have one yet, because it still costs that much.
So actually, this could pertain to you too. So, Bill, quiz. Did you know that engine existed in another car with a manual, the Honda Soul? By the look of your face, I'm gonna say no. So
which engine? The current new Type R engine?
The Type R engine. The 2-liter turbo Type R engine. It's modified. It's tuned differently, but it's the same engine.
Nah, I don't know. What's it in?
The last generation Honda Accord, when it first was launched with a 2.0T Sport model, which is the same motor, different tuning, as the Type R motor.
Okay.
With a manual.
I knew you could get it with a manual because, believe it or not, there are some in my saved cars folder on cars.com because that's also on my list of cars I would buy currently.
Yeah, they did the 1.5T with a manual, but they also did the 2-liter turbo.
I just didn't realize it was the same engine.
Yep, same engine. It's tuned a little different. You know, different application. It don't got to be. It don't have to scream. But
I mean, it doesn't have to.
Well, in that application, it probably wasn't what it needed to do. But I've seen old and new videos of people, you know, getting that engine back to its proper spec.
Okay.
And beyond. So yeah. So look at it. You can get that same motor cheaper.
I'm telling you, I've got the car saved. I like the Accord. I like the 2015-16 Sport with a manual.
Oh yeah, the one that when you can get the V6 manual. Yeah.
I like that one too.
Yeah, that was sleeper car. Because back then you can get the coupe V6 with a manual.
Yeah, but I don't want the coupe. I want the sedan. I like the four doors. Although I do have a coupe saved currently, that's pretty nice, but it probably won't last very long.
Probably won't. But all right, cool. So that's news for you.
That's news. I don't have any more news.
All right. So last time we were on, Bill went on a journey. after the podcast. He watched a TV show that I recommended, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. And then we're going to pitch TV shows with cars as stars in it to each other at the end of it. So,
okay,
what did you think overall?
Okay, overall, if I had to give...
Say the name of the TV show.
Twisted Metal. So, based on the PlayStation video game from the 90s, which I did not know at all. I never played it.
Me.
Not once. I knew nothing about the video game. I still know nothing about the video game, but I can make some inferences from the show of what maybe the goal of the game was or something. So, anyway, Stanley tells me I should watch the show. I watched the show because I was in hotel rooms all last week, so I had a week to watch. Yeah,
this is not a kid show.
No, this is not a kid show. This is an adult show. Okay, so here's my review of the show. I would give it 3 stars out of 5.
All right, throw out the part that you think the Subaru should have died in the first episode.
That's not that. That actually plays no part of my. Actually, I like that the car just somehow managed to keep surviving.
In a post-apocalypse.
Because in the sense of a television show, you and the car is a character on the show. You need that character to be somebody you root for and that hangs on, and it doesn't make sense that they're still swinging like a Rocky Balboa type situation. So I support the fact that car stayed alive. That didn't bother me at all. Okay, so here's what I like most about it is the use of a lot of practical effects.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
I liked that a lot of the crashing and explosions and fireballs and stunt driving, and I liked that it was practical. That to me is what gave it the rating that it got. If it didn't have all of that, if it was more CGI focused, then I probably would have rated the show 1 star or 1.5 star. Cause I feel like the acting is terrible. The plot is terrible. The premise is terrible. I'm really only there for the car driving, and it was good. The practical effects in driving are literally the only reason I watched past the first episode.
All right. First of all, the plot being terrible, the acting—I don't think that—I think it was overacting on purpose. So I would say terrible.
Well, and that may be the case, right? It needed to look like a cutscene from a video game, so it needed to look bad, and maybe that's the point. But
because the whole concept of this is ridiculous. Everything about it is ridiculous.
Is ridiculous. Yes. Yes.
But it's also the thing that caught my attention because again. I only know about a video game in passing. I didn't play this video game. Evidently, everybody who I work with played this video. This is part of their childhood sometime. I was like, why did your parents let you play that? But anyway, that's beyond the fact. But I knew it was going to be ridiculous. They told me about Sweet Tooth before. It's like Sweet Tooth is this crazy clown that does all this crazy stuff. He was just an agent of chaos in the video game. And they wanted Sweet Tooth to be done right. And so I was there for the ridiculousness and the car things. So, because okay. I knew it was going to be ridiculous. I didn't tell you it was going to be ridiculous because then you wouldn't have watched it.
Fair point. Yes.
But yeah, I enjoyed it for its campiness and its ridiculousness and its practical effects. And it was a good time. Somehow my family all liked it too. So I don't know. But you call us weird.
So I think, I don't know. I think to me it is, and of course, if you grew up playing the game, then I certainly understand the appeal to want to watch it, right? Because I understand the appeal. It doesn't necessarily resonate with me because I can't even begin to describe how much Gran Turismo. And I still ain't seen that movie. So
my schedule wouldn't allow me to do it, but I'm going to watch it as soon as I can.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's a priority, but I'll see it at some point.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the story. I think you were the first person to kind of tell me about it. Because I was like, why are you not doing this?
Yeah.
But it became important to me because I believe it was you who told me about it initially. So that made it important to me. And I kind of just want to see it down on the screen because I like movies. I like all types of dumb movies. So
I like popcorn movies, and I feel like it's probably a popcorn movie. But I guess the other thing was, like, when I play a video game, this will date myself, and not that anybody's going to be surprised based on Stanley and I's normal series of comments to things. But when I play a video game, I do not play the video game for the community of a game. I just don't.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all. I do not care. I do not care if I have a friend playing the game at the same time.
Nope.
I will never care if I have a friend playing the game at the same time.
All right, pause real quick.
I only care about checking the boxes. If it's buy all the cars, I'm going to buy all the cars. If it's modify all the cars, I'm going to modify all the cars. If it's win all the races, I'm going to win all the races. If it's kill all the guys that the computer designed for that level, I'm going to kill all the guys the computer designed for that level. I only care about fighting the code and not other people. That's just my opinion about video games.
As a friend of Bill who has played a video game with Bill and promptly quit because he took it way too serious.
Yes.
I can attest that all those things are true. I tried to play Gran Turismo with him, and he is also the reason why I quit playing Gran Turismo. I was like, because you know what? I'm not ever going to be good as Bill at this game because he is invested. So,
100%, man. I'm telling you, if I pick up something like that and I go to play it, it is on. Like, I don't have time to entertain other human beings and their efforts at also being good at the game. My goal is to beat the guy who designed the game. That's my only goal. I don't care. You may be 150,000 times better at the game than me. I'm not interested in learning about it. I'm only interested in beating the guy who designed the game. That's it. That's my only focus.
The only exception to this is when Bill played Spades back in the day, and we were absolutely trying to beat
people. But that's not a video game. That's a card game, and that's something completely different.
And the only place I had to play it now is on my phone because nobody knows. Why don't people know how to play Spades anymore?
I don't know, Stanley. I don't flipping know. I miss playing Spades, and I know he don't listen to our podcast, but Ron Geniton, if you're out there, I miss playing Spades with you. Me and you and Ron and Thomas. And I mean, playing Spades, man. Yeah. I miss playing Spades.
Some of the best conversations I have ever had in my life happened during a Spades game. Some of the worst conversations I've ever had in my life happened during a run of Spades game.
Right. Well, that's mostly because you were being shady and trying to table talk.
I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never did that before. I ain't never digged before. I ain't never table talk. I ain't never did none of that stuff. I just won.
Okay.
I just won, you know.
Okay.
This is about to be turned to a Spades conversation now.
Right. Let's not do that. But I am insanely competitive at most things. For somebody who doesn't watch sports, right? I'm insanely competitive.
Sports with balls.
I will play a sport before I will watch a sport. Yeah. I will play a sport I'm not any good at before I will watch a sport I am good at. Figure that out. I don't know what it is. There's just no excitement to me in watching sports. And it just baffles people's brains that I could go 30 NFL seasons and not know a single player's name, the time of a game, the score of a game. If somebody told me, man, wasn't that something that NFL just didn't make it and they went away? That was really rough 5 years ago. I'd be like, wait, it's been gone 5 years?
Yeah. And you, again, he tells no lies.
But I know that probably sounds crazy, but the other side of that same coin is, if you walked into the room I was sitting in with a football in your hand and said, hey, we're about to go outside and play flag. You want to play? I'd be like, I'm down. Let's do it. And I'm going to go out there and take it way too serious. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to make somebody cry. Yeah. And my team's going to win. This is how serious I take all competition. A couple years ago, company Christmas party. We had one of those murder mystery dinner theater things. You know, paid a company to come in and put on this little performance, right? So we got...
I've seen it on TV. I never worked for a company that could afford to do things like that. So go ahead.
Federal government.
We're too busy wasting money.
Yeah. So they split us up by table. So like our table was our team, right? You had to name your team in secret so that when the whole thing was over with and you turned in your findings and your speculations and they announced the winner, it was like a big surprise of who the winner was. Do you know what I named? I mean, because of course I took charge of our table and was the leader of our table, but do you know what I named our team?
The winners.
Yes. Yes, our team name was The Winners. And do you know who got it right and won? The Winners. Nobody else, just us. Everybody else had it wrong.
Because you're a winner.
And because that's why I love you. I just take it too serious. I don't have fun. I have serious.
All right. So back to this show.
I was not that big of a fan of.
Oh, again, I didn't tell you about some parts because I knew you wouldn't watch it. I wanted you to kind of just experience it and just.
But I got to say, it's a bit like a train wreck. You don't necessarily want to see it, but it started in front of you and you kind of want to see how it turns out.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Because to be honest, I wasn't really interested in watching the show. And my wife saw it. She saw a trailer and was like, why is he in that? And I was like, okay, let me see what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it really did kind of catch you off guard that it's Anthony Mackie. I mean, you almost feel like you want to be like, bruh, you're better than this.
Yeah. And his character, though, is the character he's playing is so ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
And I know there are some more ridiculous things out there in TV, but I don't watch those things. But I mean, he is playing a character that I've never seen him. He's taking nothing serious and everything serious at the same time.
And that's a really good way to put it.
And I was kind of, and also I was here for it. Also, the crazy thing is, hopefully they do get a season two. You probably won't watch it.
I don't know. I might watch it.
Because the video game part of the show, the thing that actually, the race didn't happen yet.
Right. That's what, it hadn't even actually happened yet. The thing that the game is based on hasn't actually, we just got the backstory leading up to the game.
So I feel obligated now. I got to see where it ends.
Yeah, I 100% will finish watching it. I mean, if I feel like I'm invested in it and I need to know, but it wasn't my favorite, but if you're an adult and you feel like you've watched everything else and you want to see people die horrible deaths,
yes,
and wreck cars,
Yes, they
and
do that.
Go check it out. And if you want to see Thomas Hayden Church as an absolute villain of all villains, like over the top, ridiculous villain, then this is the show for you.
Yeah. And if you want to see, we want proof that a Subaru will survive the apocalypse like cockroaches.
No, it's not proof. It's not proof because I can tell you that there's no way he's doing that drive and not replacing head gaskets multiple times. It's just not.
Yep. Yeah. The car should have blown up, and then they kept fixing it and all this other stuff. I don't know. Where were they getting the parts?
Yeah, that's a great question. Nobody knows.
Where were they getting the parts?
I'm trying to figure out how they were driving from location to location in the amount of time that they were. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
How did you
go from the swamp in Florida to California in like 12 minutes? That's how I need to know.
Hey, the roads were clear, bro.
Okay.
Okay. It's post-apocalyptic. I mean,
yeah.
The roads are clear.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Oh, I didn't say that was. And they didn't go from Florida. They were in Cali and Illinois Vegas.
Go back and watch that first episode.
I thought they were in like Washington State or something. I don't know.
He looks like he's driving through like Sarasota swamp in that first episode. It looks like he is leaving swampland. And then the next thing you know, he's in California. Yeah, okay. So maybe it was like Arizona.
Trees grow. But anyway, so yeah. So you moderately approve of the show, and you're going to watch the second season if it comes out.
I feel like that's the accurate way to put it. I moderately approve of the show based solely on its entertainment value alone.
Oh, yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. So the challenge is pitch a TV show. Okay. For today, for about a car with a star. A star so car.
The car is the star of the show.
A car can be the star, a focal point, however you want to church it up.
I got mine already. What's yours? Let me hear yours.
All right, because seeing how I thought about it first, and I kind of hit you with it right there. I give you more time to think about it. Because it's 2023, about to be 2024, you know, nothing can be completely new. So we got to remake something. So what my show would be is a remake of the 1980s animated kids cartoon Mask.
Mm-hmm.
The car star of the of the show is that Camaro that somehow they're going to make fly. But they got to build a practical one with the doors that open and the wings come out. And yeah.
All right. So in my mind, I kind of went to a similar place, but slightly different approach. So I was thinking, And this is not a show that necessarily I condone or that I would watch, but this is something I think would be a success.
Oh, I definitely would watch Mask.
Oh, I'd definitely watch Mask. Okay, so EV cars, right? They're all the rage, electrified, whatever. AI is also the current cool trend. So
yeah.
This is mine. It is not a reboot. It's not, we're not using the same name, but it is similar to Knight Rider. Only it's Knight Rider meets the Punisher.
Ridiculous.
Meets the Punisher meets Kevin Costner's The Fugitive. Okay, so it's this guy is in his garage. And he builds this, and I'm picturing a just completely murdered out like 1969 Chevelle, and he is building it into an EV car, and he gets this government grade military AI software that was made for a UAV, and he uses it for his controlling software in the car, and the car comes to life, right? It becomes self-aware, and the government is out to find it, and the car is on the run. The guy's along for the ride, but it's all their misadventures of fleeing from the government and him trying to find a way that if they ever capture the car, his AI buddy can live on in cyberspace forever. So he's also trying to like grant freedom to his best friend that's the car, and the car's on the run. That's where my brain went.
That actually is a better idea than mine.
Thank you.
Build a producer. I would watch that show. I definitely would watch that show. What's the name of it?
I don't know. I keep thinking inappropriate stuff.
While you think of a name of it, another idea that they can
Here's the first name that came to my mind. Wheels Before Woes. Okay. Let's see. Let me think of some other stuff.
All right. So another one that came to my mind that they could turn into a TV show is they could probably do Turbo Team, some kind of version of Turbo Team. Remember that show back in the day?
Yeah, Turbo Team.
They could probably redo Auto Man. Ooh. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Auto Man. That's Rick old school.
Rick Purser.
that's taking it way back.
Do you remember that show Highway Man with the semi truck that had the top of it that turned into a helicopter?
Whoa, that was short lived.
Yeah.
Fall Guy. They could bring back Fall Guy.
Absolutely. No, won't tell you why they can't bring my Fall Guy? Because they probably want to do it in a Bronco, and I don't want that to happen.
Oh, yeah, you can't do it in a Bronco. You got to bring. You guys got to be a GMC truck.
I know, but.
But you can't do it in a new GMC truck. You can't do it in a new GMC truck because it ain't going to survive one jump. And everybody knows it ain't going to survive one jump.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. True. And I mean, they're going to want to do a new truck because, you know, marketing and advertising. But they're going to do it in an AT4. It's too pretty for that.
It has to be, you got to set it up that if you're doing it in a new AT4, then it's got to be like a Kibitech AT4 where it's got like long travel suspension or you get like somebody like Blake Wilkie or somebody, you know, these guys that build these killer off-road pre-runners and desert runner cars and trucks. And that like that's part of the character. Is that they would have this like modified brand new vehicle that could actually withstand those things. Cause let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever watched any of like Blake Wilkie's videos or seen the dude that owns Kibitech, their stuff that they're building nowadays, man, they'll jump that stuff that those dudes jumped on in the 80s on TV shows at twice the speed and have zero damage and keep driving. And they're not trading out for another car after the jump's over. They're going on about their day.
Yeah, it's some guys out there who's building some boss things. I mean, that's a little bit more your scene. But when you tell me about some of those things, I go look them up, and I was like, how in the world are y'all?
You need to watch. What's Blake's new one? Give me a minute to find the name of his newest is it Urban Assault? I'll let me find it and I'm gonna tell you and you can cool. Watch it.
I had another card another show that we could kind of bring back but you know what I really wanted to this ain't a car necessarily, but I kind of this is all nostalgia. I want a new Airwolf show. Why can't we get a new Airwolf?
Yeah, Airwolf would be cool, but part of the reason why we can't have a new Airwolf show is because they're not. I mean, that was a Dolphin. There are no cool helicopters.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is all the new helicopters that there are all like unmanned stuff. So it's hard to have the human element of the show and have characters that have, you know, stories and lives and things you root for and, you know, watch with bated breath if they're going to be alive the next episode. If it's just the car, like you don't really care. You know, you gotta add the human element to it. That's why my AI car with his best friend that built him, you know, now you've got the human element.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Airwolf was awesome. My wife's favorite show still from her youth is still Knight Rider. Cause that was the only show her dad would let her stay up and watch.
You need to tell her about my show idea. Cause I think my show idea would be the jam. And it doesn't have to be the Nova. Like you could pick another cool old car, but okay, here's what you do. You want to play on the 80s nostalgia. I've got it. Same premise of the show. I'm expanding my mind here. Same premise, but instead of a 70s era muscle car, 60s, 70s era, you shift it to the 80s. Cause now you're hitting us in the feels and you go with, this is the car, Subaru SVX. It's futuristic looking, but it's not.
Yeah.
Not enough people know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not enough people know what it is, but some people know what it is. That's the car. Yeah. Subaru SVX.
That's a car. I told you I kind of own one of those. So when we were in Japan, the last time I was in Japan, a guy had one, and he was supposed to sell it to me, because that's how cars for like $200 or whatever it was. I think it was $500, but he had to go on a deployment or something, and so he just left me the keys, and then he came back and he wanted the car back. So I never actually owned it, so I can't call it one of mine, but I did drive it for like 2 or 3 months, and the windows are ridiculous and amazing and absolutely work the way they intended to work. Have your windows down in the rain and not get wet.
Absolutely. Right.
But back then I smoked and they kind of sucked for that purpose.
Now that I believe.
But yeah, man. So any cool car show, any shows that you don't really watch that much TV. Any shows that are TV or movies that had cars in it that you actually do like that are new? I probably butchered that, but you understood what I meant. So there.
I mean, all the car content I watch is all on YouTube. I feel like I don't even know what other people, I don't know what non-car people are even watching on YouTube. I couldn't even tell you. Everything I watch on YouTube is either car or gun related. And I am subscribed to far more channels that I could watch in the amount of time I have in life. So I just see pieces of these things, but it is more than enough content that there's no reason to even watch television because it's so good. The content is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. We're going to reduce our subscriber footprint. And so we were going through the list of things that we subscribe to and kind of picking out the things that we actually do watch. So my wife's number one is Hulu because she watched all the the wife that killed the husband things all the time.
Have you seen that video, that Saturday Night Live skit about I'm going to watch a murder show?
No, I haven't.
You need to show Giselle.
Okay.
Cool. We're gonna watch it after this. But okay. I'm gonna play this video for you because I want you to see this.
All right. Well, I'll be able to do that.
I think this is the one I want you to see. I'm gonna pull it up. Give me just a second.
I'm giving you getting BS Car Guys live reaction.
Yeah, and I'm not. There's not going to be any audio on this. I'm just going to let you see it. And
I'll put a link to the video in the show notes so y'all can watch it too.
Yeah, this is this was Blake Wilkie's first urban assault video. There's three of them. The third one just came out, but this was the first one. And you know how like Gymkhana and all these things, these videos, they're like, they close down the streets and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Blake Wilkie's crazy. He did not close any of these streets. So all this stuff you're about to see him doing is all just like done without permission of these property owners. And yeah, that Volkswagen Beetle with long travel suspension, he built himself. This is all just being done on public roads during daytime hours. And as he's driving up the side wall of an underpass and like the side of an interstate, just no regard.
How is this dude not in jail?
Oh, he got in some trouble for the filming of this. It was on the news. I think it went viral a little more than he expected. But yeah.
So obviously he got out of jail. They would still have my butt in jail for that. Blake, you know.
Well, this is California. But Blake Wilkie is, dude, he is like, he's like one of those guys that was born in the wrong decade. Like you would think he was a surfer stoner from like the early 80s in California. You know, he just comes across as a completely out of place with the modern world, except for he builds these like insanely awesome Baja vehicles. So he's really well known for Beetles. He does a lot of just crazy Beetles. He's done some other stuff, but typically he's known for these Beetles with like LSs hanging off the back of them.
I was about to ask you, what is in this car?
Yeah, it's a supercharged LS that will do wheelies at like 60 miles an hour on the interstate. Like, no problem.
And that thing is more motorcycle than it is Beetle, man. The front wheel should not come off the ground that easy.
Dude, this thing jumps like it's a job. And doesn't think twice about it, right? It just does stuff.
Oh, yeah. They came and talked to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this Blake Wilkie in Urban Assault. But he has built a bunch of cool stuff. So anyway, that being said, like with that kind of content that's out there, why would you ever need to subscribe to or watch regular television? When you've got, and of course his second video is just weird, but why would you ever need to search out television shows to watch when you've got, this is a commercial. I didn't even realize that was a commercial.
Yeah. I've seen that commercial before.
I get car commercials, and that's about it. That's about all the commercials I get. All right, here we go. This is the second one starting now.
So, what all the stuff that you do, all the stuff you're doing, why do you not have YouTube Premium so you don't have to deal with the commercials?
You know, that's a good question. I guess because I'm a cheapskate and I'm not spending money on YouTube because I'm one of those guys like, I remember the old YouTube when there were no rules and it was the Wild West. And I just refuse to give in and be a part of that new YouTube. I'm going to keep living that old it's free or I don't watch it lifestyle. So
I haven't watched a commercial on YouTube in like 6 years.
That's good for you. good for you.
I ain't got time for the commercials. I want to watch what I want to watch. I don't need it breaking up in the middle. Nope.
All right, here we go. This is another one of his buggies here. So you'll enjoy this one too. I mean, you'll see just how much suspension travel this thing has. Just unreal. This one he filmed in Las Vegas.
And again, I will put the link to these videos in the show notes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Or if you're listening and you're just curious, you could just YouTube Urban Assault Blake. What? And that's all it's going to take. Look, just straight up goose the gas in the parking lot, and the thing just whips a complete dragging the chassis wheelie in a dirty, right, dusty parking lot.
First of all,
like 50-inch tires. What's up?
All right, I'm going back to a statement I made a second. That thing is half motorcycle because cars don't do that.
Yeah. You want to talk about people who build stuff that's like half motorcycle, and you want to talk about YouTube content. You should be watching. My brain just went blank. Grind Hard Plumbing, right? These guys like hack up some stuff and build some ridiculous vehicles.
Everything should have fell off that car.
Yeah, if that doesn't tell you how well built that thing is, nothing does.
He obviously got permission for this one. Because yes, he could have pulled, yes, that off without getting permission.
Right. No, by this point he's now made a name for himself. This is and we can't see stuff like this without also mentioning, like, you know, BJ Baldwin and his videos. And I really do give all the credit to people like Ken Block, who really inspired people to make cool car content. You know,
Originator.
Right. A fan of Cletus and all the stuff he does. You know, there's so many good car content people on the internet that it really is the best time ever to be a car person. It's sad that the car industry is so disconnected from this part of car culture that is the enthusiast, like, enjoy a vehicle for the fun that it can be. You know, because it's almost like you have two different worlds that are juxtaposed. You have the cars are just about getting you from one place to another and should be basically able to do it without your assistance. And then you have the people that are on the other side of the thing saying, no, cars should, you know, move around and make noise and be fun, and you should have to work to keep them under control and be engaged in them. And it's such a weird time that there's two completely opposite perspectives on what an automobile is and should be.
All right, now that you said that, this is Stan's chance to find the end on the note of I disagree. And the reason I disagree is I think car industry has always been like that. It's the car guys that make the car culture what it is, and we're just plugged into that.
Okay.
I mean, they built the Mustang for secretaries, and then we turned it into that.
Okay.
Car guys made that. You know, that, of course, there were sports cars and stuff, but that was for people that would be honest, that wasn't for me and you. you know, they didn't build those cars for us.
Right. Well, yeah, I definitely know they did not build them for us. I definitely get.
Talk about the Mustang is because in all reality, as much as Mustang people are annoying, the car is iconic. We turned the Mustang into the Mustang, but you know, to them it was a secondary car.
Yes,
and we did that. Us. If you made it to the end of this podcast, you are one of the people who did that. We made car culture. Car culture is about us. The automotive industry is something completely different.
Very good point. Very good point. I agree. It's a good point.
And on that note, I don't know how long we've been on here. So,
it feels like a minute. That's for sure. I love you, brother.
I love you too, man. I was like, there are plenty of words that I used to say that I do not say anymore because I am an adult now.
There's a good line of thought too of what your reasoning behind saying something is what's your maturity level? And what, yeah, you exactly. know,
that's like, I was like, you know what people, what my son's kids don't confuse me as, they're friends. Cause I don't speak like them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not running around saying no cap.
Yeah. I don't even understand, dude. It took me a whole year to know what that meant. I'm not even gonna lie.
There's still a bunch of those things that kids are saying now that I still don't know what they mean. I still don't know. I know what no cap means, but that's about my extent.
We had a kid that was in, he's in Okinawa now. He just turned like 28, 29. He just turned 29. And legit, we had a whole conversation. He's like, bro, I need to understand y'all slang. I don't get it. This stuff don't make no sense to me. It's like, because we was talking about music. I was like, I don't really listen to a lot of music, new music, because it's kind of annoying to me. And second, I don't know what y'all talking about. I have no idea what y'all talking about. So he went through a whole song and he's like, this is what you mean here. This, I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to remember that tomorrow. But it makes you feel old, because you remember when we were the kids and we would say things around our parents, they had no idea what we were saying.
Yes, and now we're the old people who have no idea what they're saying.
Yes. We are here. We are here. And then by the time your daughter becomes a teenager, she's going to have a whole new set of slang that we definitely ain't going to know what that is.
So and I'm going to make no effort. I'm going to give you some and see if you know what these mean. Okay, we'll start with cap, no cap, right?
All right. No cap means you're telling the truth.
And cap means is a lie. Yes.
I had to do some research on that to figure out where that came from.
I don't know where it came from.
So cappers back in the day, I think it was in England, the guy wearing the cap and stuff, those are the people that would cheat you. And would lie to you, and would deceive you, and stuff like that. So
it's a Peaky Blinders reference.
Yeah. So a person with a cap on, that was the liar dude. That's the dude that was going to tell you the truth. If you had no cap on, that usually meant you were an honest person.
How about that? Okay, slay or slayed.
They did good. I think
it's do something amazing.
Okay, cool. I knew that one because Beyonce.
Oh, okay. Hop off, go off. Dude, that meant something different when we were kids.
Get mad?
It's just words of encouragement, brother. Facts.
The truth?
Yeah, agreeing okay. when the truth has been told. Left no crumbs.
Didn't leave no evidence.
Nope. Did an exceptional job at something.
Oh, like eating all your food.
No crumbs.
I would have never got it.
No crumbs. I'm using that. I'm going to embarrass some kids with left no crumbs. Understood the assignment. We know that one is doing well at something. Glow up.
Did good.
An improvement of oneself.
Okay.
Here's one I didn't know. T. Like T-E-A, T.
I think I know that one. It's gossip.
Yeah, gossip.
Yeah.
Look at you. That's some points. I did not know that one.
I listened to the breakfast, the rumor report, and the donkey of the day from the morning show in the morning, and they said something about spill the tea. I just pulled it out of context just now. I never even thought of it.
Let's see, gatekeep.
Keep people out.
It's keeping something for yourself for fear of it getting popular.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
He just made a face.
Chuggly.
What?
Chuggy.
What did you say?
Chuggy. Chuggy. Chuggy.
I have no idea what you just said or what that means.
That's why I made the face. chuggy is something that is not at all trendy, usually associated with millennials.
Chuggy?
Chuggy.
Yeah, I got to test that out on my daughter. I have no, I've never, what?
C-H-E-U-G-Y.
Yeah, whatever you said.
Camp. A word used to describe something that is ironically trendy. Like, man, that pumpkin spice be camp.
What?
Yeah, ironically trendy.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
You ever seen the movie, it has Halle Berry in it, Tom Hanks. It's going to come back to me in a second. I keep talking, it's going to come to me and all. It's a movie that they try to make many times. Go ahead.
I don't know. TFW. That feeling when. So like TFW when you get off work early.
Over my head.
I guess, you know, bet.
Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah. I'm weak. It means like something's funny or hilarious. Like most of my dad jokes.
I'm weak?
Yep, I'm weak. It's similar to like how? I'm dead. Yeah, I don't know. Slaps.
Oh, it's good. Or
it's exceptionally good. Exceptionally good.
I remember that one.
Bussin'.
That's it tastes good.
Describe something that you like.
Oh.
Extra.
Okay. Too much.
Stanley is extra.
Yeah, I know that one. My daughter used that one.
That's a popular one, I think.
You're doing too much.
Yeah. Cloud Atlas. Yeah. Clap back.
I remember that from back in the day, 50 Cent them. You got to go back at somebody, right?
Yeah, it's a way to respond to something that you've been called out for.
Okay, yeah. I remember that. Back in the day when 50 Cent and Eminem was doing all the little diss records. I remember that one. Somebody had a song called Clap Back.
I thought so.